Well, the men do understand that they're here for a purpose. During my time, the force levels at one time went up to 19,000. When I left, yes, we had started downsizing, but still the numbers were such that I had an advantage probably over the current administration because their force strength is not the same, yet the tasks haven't changed.
My question with regard to the situation, I'm certain that you have been following the news from Darfur since left here, and frequently the government is saying that the situation is stable here, therefore there is no need really of this huge volume of forces here. Is that your assessment after seeing the situation on the ground?
What I've observed is that there are issues that still need to be worked on, but for me to be able to give a fair assessment in 48 hours would be a little bit too much, I think.
Is Darfur stable now than the time you were here, from what the soldiers are saying on the ground?
I know this place is complex. So in terms of really me saying it has improved or it has slipped back, I think it can only be determined by the mission leadership.
Now, let's go back to your men on the ground. What sort of morale they have?
Our troops are prepared for war fighting. Therefore, finding themselves in an environment like this is not something that should surprise them. But to answer your question directly, I was impressed by the morale. It's quite high and they seem to be ready to go.
Rwanda is a major contributor in the UNAMID force, and the UN has taken issue with that. Really very grateful for that. Are you sure that if you are asked to increase the forces, you will comply?
Increasing forces also has, it's not that you increase because somebody has asked to. There are all other considerations. We have a country also to and a region that we have to look after. But also at the moment we are contributing overall in excess of 5,000 men and women to the UN. By all standards, not a small number. Per capita, I think, would be the highest contributor.
General Nyamvumba, let me take you back again to your what you said, that the Rwandese soldiers are really prepared to fight. Is that because the quality of their weapons, such good ones, excellent, because there are issues with quality of weapons among other contingents?
It starts with the mindset. It's not about the quality of the weapon. Even when I was here as force commander, I used to ask the same question. Before you ask me about the quality of the weapon you have, would be, have you used the ones you have to their maximum? How about the people you're dealing with? Are they better equipped than you are? Number one, it should be the mindset. So the mindset has to be right to understand that in the defense of the mandate and the execution of their mission here, at one point it might be necessary to use force.
The rebels here, General, are one of the best equipped, and you can't fight them with Kalashnikov of 1945.
They are not better trained than these soldiers. I know them. I've been here. I'm only saying that you have to get the mindset right. Right. Then additionally, of course, they need to be equipped for the job. I mean, if you say that the rebels or the militias, I think the biggest caliber they're equipped with would be a 12.7. I'm sure most of the contingents here, to the best of my knowledge, what I saw here is that the contingents were armed to be able to meet the challenges in this mission.
So you are pleased with the quality of weapons in this mission. However, I mean, we have more than 60 soldiers who have been killed by the militia.
It's unfortunate, first of all, that the mission has lost such a number of troops. But of course, when you come here, you should also recognize that there are risks. Part of those risks is that you may lose your life. Now, going back to your question, I'm not sure that the deaths were as a result of being under-equipped, but there is, I think, in most cases, at least the ones that I know of, it was how the peacekeepers themselves reacted.
We're operating under Chapter 7, but there is a grey area when it comes to self-defense, particularly from the soldiers. Can you put it plainly clear what the Chapter 7 says about when a soldier is facing a danger of attack, or when is actually attacked? What should they do?
Self-defense doesn't require Chapter 7. Self-defense is an inherent right in any UN undertaking.
If you are asked to give an advice to the officers in the UNAMID, what advice will be?
Well, first of all, we have to appreciate that UNAMID works under, you know, difficult conditions, in a sense that UNAMID presents a challenge in that you have to keep peace, but at the same time look for it because it doesn't exist. You've got to deal with so many belligerents, you've got to, it's a bit of a challenge. And I can only say that, you know, the peacekeepers have done their best.